Greetings and salutations, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another chapter of Science News Update with me, Jim Campanella. Frankly, I wasn't too sure how to begin this update tonight without sounding overly dramatic. But here goes. The world as we know it is going to change very soon. A revolution is quietly taking place that will potentially change the way you interact with your doctor, how you get a job, and how the legal world works. It will even change how you look at yourself in life. At this point, you're wondering what in the blazes I could be nattering on about. Let me tell you, within the next few years, the $1,000 genome will be achievable. Again, you are probably saying, so I still don't know what you're talking about. I'm talking about our lives becoming Gattaca. Well, maybe not Gattaca, but at least a much milder version of Gattaca. Remember the movie Gattaca with Uma Thurman and Ethan Hawke? If you don't remember it, let me refresh your memory. At its core, the story involved a future in which everyone's entire genomic sequence is read, then analyzed, and then placed into a national database when they're born. The database is accessible to all corporate and governmental bodies. Your genome in the Gattaca world determined all your rights and privileges. If you have any potential genetic defects that lead to physical or mental weakness, you are immediately destined for the lowest ranks of society, called the invalids or the invalids. I believe they pronounced it invalids in the movie. Ethan Hawke plays a character who falls into that category. With bad eyesight and a weak heart, he is destined to be a janitor. But he believes that genetics do not determine who you are, and he decides that by deceit he can rise above his genome. For those of you who have not seen the movie, I highly recommend it, and I will leave the plot right there so you can enjoy it all. What am I getting at? The magic number of $1,000 has been suggested as the amount that insurance companies will happily pay for their clients to get their genome sequenced. If this becomes reality, then medicine, the law, everything changes. Imagine that in 10 years you propose to a woman. She doesn't want a prenuptial agreement, but she does demand to see the DNA analysis of your entire genome. Send it over to her general practitioner, and he will send back his own conclusion on your genetic fitness. What is your potential fiancé looking for? Well, she knows from her own DNA sequence analysis that she carries recessive traits for a whole series of nasty diseases, including blindness, dwarfism, sickle cell anemia, and quadrophenia. All right, I'm kidding on the last one. But she simply wants to make sure that you do not have those recessives also. Those are physical diseases, and she has a right to know the potential you have to give those traits to any offspring you two might have. And I guess she has the right to know whether you have a high probability of heart disease, diabetes, cancer, and Alzheimer's. It's always nice to know whether your husband or wife may die of some disease at a young age or simply lose their mind. But we're getting into a gray area at this point. Heart disease and cancer are especially iffy kinds of diseases that depend not only on your genetics and on the environment you live in, but partly on chance as well. So these diseases are way less predictable in their emergence. But there are other things that your little missy might be looking for before she says I do. Or for that matter, things that you may be looking for in her genome. Imagine that there are human genes that affect pair bonding. Translation, how faithful you are potentially going to be to your spouse. And you may say, very cute, Dr. Science, but you know very well that there is just nothing like that. But if you're thinking that, well, you'd be surprisingly wrong. Apparently there are such genes. They were originally discovered in the small mammals voles by the research group led by Dr. Hasse Wollum of the Karolinska Institute in Stockholm. Depending on their genetic makeup, some male voles are apparently much more faithful to their pair-bonded mates than others. Yeah, but those are rodents, you're saying. No better than rats. However, the researchers went on to find those same genes are apparently in humans, and this work was presented in September in the journal The Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences. Vasopressin is an important neuropeptide, It's found in most mammals, including humans and voles. It's a peptide hormone which is stored in vesicles at the posterior pituitary. A vesicle is a small hollow bubble of membrane used for storage and transport inside of a cell. Most of the vasopressin is stored in the posterior pituitary to be released either into the bloodstream or directly into the brain. Although the hormone is very important for kidney function, in fact, primarily important for kidney function, it also has effects on the brain and the central nervous system. In recent years, there's been particular interest in the role of vasopressin in social behavior. It's thought that the vasopressin, released into the brain during sexual activity, initiates and sustains patterns of activity that support the pair bond between sexual partners. In particular, the vasopressin seems to induce the male to become aggressive toward other males. Now, originally this was observed in voles, but apparently humans are not without a genetic counterpart. Vollum's study examined whether genetic differences in the protein receptor for vasopressin in the brain could account for differences in how well humans paired up and stayed paired up. They made use of data from the twin and offspring study in Sweden, which includes over 550 twins and their partners or spouses. The gene under study codes for one of the receptors for that hormone vasopressin. The team found that men who carry one or two copies of a variant of this vasopressin receptor gene, allele 334, often behave differently in relationships than men who lack this gene variant. Vollum said, quote, "Women married to men who carry one or two copies of allele 334 were, on average, less satisfied with their relationships than women married to men who didn't carry this allele," unquote. So what about the future of the law in genetics? Okay, you're getting a divorce and your wife is going to take you for everything in the settlement since you were caught cheating on her en flagrante. What defense does your lawyer employ?
"Well, Judge, according to Mr. Jones's genetic tests, he is genetically incapable of being faithful because he has two variant alleles of the vasopressin receptor 1A gene. Mrs. Jones should have seen that on his genetic test when she married him. You cannot blame Mr. Jones and expect him to go against his basic nature. His genetic makeup forced him into the smart car with those two waitresses."
Seriously. This will become the new Twinkie defense. Remember the Twinkie defense?
"I could not help killing that room full of people because my body was poisoned by junk food and I could not think straight. It was not my fault."
Going back to our original proposal example, it may become that the woman you propose to will not even bother to demand the results of that genetic test. However, she may not marry you until you sign a prenup that includes a sworn statement that you do not have the vasopressin receptor gene variant. "Yes, honey, this proves I will stay faithful." Yeah, sure it will. What else can we dig out of the human genome that may be misused? Let's say you apply for a job as a teacher. Now, obviously, working with kids is a sensitive post, and you do not want anyone prone to violence in such a position. Could your genome give you away as a crazed, chainsaw-wielding maniac? Well, that's what some geneticists say. Monoamine oxidase A is another neuropeptide. Andreas Meyer Lindenberg and his research group out of Washington University published a paper in the Proceedings of the National Academy on genetic variants of the monoamine oxidase A gene. The gene is X-linked, meaning that men have one copy of it and women two. Just like other mutant genes like colorblindness, which is rare in women because having two gene copies protects them, men are prone to odd variants of this oxidase gene, while women would rarely get it. What does it do? According to Meyer Lindenberg, quote, "increases the risk of impulsivity and violence in humans and animals," unquote. The low expression variant seems to predict a hyper-responsive amygdala during emotional arousal. Translation into plain English. When these guys get angry, they get angrier quicker than average, and they become a great deal more angry than average. We are not talking the Incredible Hulk here, but you probably do not want to be around when these guys, yes, guys, get pissed off.
I'm sorry, Mr. Jones, but despite the fact that you have an exemplary academic record, work with the poor, volunteer nursing cancer patients, do crochet, and have a doctoral degree from Columbia University in teaching, we cannot offer you this teaching position. It appears that your genomic tests indicate that you are a low-level expressor of monoamine oxidase A. You could be a serious future danger to students. I'm sorry, sir, neither the school district nor this institution is prepared for such a future calamity. Do you doubt that such things are possible? Maybe, maybe not. Perhaps I just have a darker view of human nature than most, but I can just too easily imagine that scenario. Even though we cannot sequence whole genomes yet, cheaply, there are already companies out there who will analyze, quote, important genomic markers, unquote. That means they will look for a limited number of gene variants for breast cancer, colon cancer, diabetes, Alzheimer's, etc., without sequencing the whole shebang. By the way, if you have the bucks, you can have your entire genome sequenced. Knome Inc. Actually, truthfully, I'm not sure whether this is pronounced gnome with a silent K or knome. I would imagine it's probably pronounced knome. Knome Inc., a startup company based in Cambridge, Massachusetts, is quite willing to do that sequencing for you. Anyone with $350,000 to spare and an adventurous spirit can now have his or her own genome sequenced. Those other companies that I mentioned offer cheaper personal genomic services. Among these are 23andMe for about $1,000, Navigenics for about $2,300, and Decode, which I believe is based in Iceland, for those of you in Europe, at about $3,000. They all offer analysis on thousands of gene variations to predict risk of disease or assess ancestry and other traits. The cost with those other companies is considerably less, obviously, than what Knome charges, because the other companies do much less work than sequencing the 3 billion bases in the human genome. And apparently, I am not the only one worried that this sort of information can be harmful and dangerous if disseminated in a careless manner, like some of these web-based companies seem to be doing. For example, 23andMe Inc., seriously, wants to become the newest social interaction tool, like Twitter. They think that people will line up to get their markers read so that they can compare them to each other in bars and pubs and websites like Facebook.
Oh, look, Gwen, we have the same CF24A marker on chromosome 6. We must both be descended from ancient Scottish royalty. See? And you said we had nothing in common.
Sadly, I can seriously imagine some of the millennial generation actually comparing their genomes to help get a date, just like that. Well, in April of this year, the state of New York, the Department of Health, issued a cease and desist order to 22 gene marker companies. The state decided that if the U.S. federal government was doing nothing to regulate these companies, then they would. So they insisted that the companies required state licenses before they could be allowed any more genetic analyses. The chief worry, even now, is that these tests are not clinically validated, so it's unclear how accurate the results are for predictions about health. The test results could lead to unnecessary anxiety or, worse, to false confidence. I mean, imagine someone whose test indicates no predisposition for diabetes might abandon efforts to diet and exercise. The New England Journal of Medicine suggested in one article that, quote, doctors should tell patients that any information derived from these services is essentially useless, and that people interested in their genetic data should ask again in a few years when it can be trusted, unquote. In June of this year, California followed New York's lead and sent out their own cease and desist letters to 13 companies doing sequencing there. According to the California Department of Public Health, these companies were, quote, scaring a lot of people to death, unquote. After the warning, a few of these companies claimed to be in compliance with the California state laws, while others decided they simply could not be bothered and stopped offering the services in California altogether. As I said at the beginning of all this, the world is changing. Usually you can't observe these changes. The world evolves around you, but you don't notice very much. This time, I think a visible revolution is coming. We now know a huge amount about the human genome, and that info is only going to increase. And as it does, it will add gasoline to the fire. I know what you're thinking.
This is all supposed to be to the good. The revolution in personal genomics is supposed to help cure disease, make us healthier, make us happier, make us more content. But I guess I can only too easily see a world in which people are mistreated for their genetic predispositions. Unfortunately, I can see an even worse scenario than prejudice for your genetics. What's worse? Well, it's something that the world of Gattaca didn't even suggest. Imagine that you're one of those many people who do not have health insurance. That means you will not be able to afford to get the sequencing done. What then? Will it be government subsidized? Will you go without? Certainly, if you go without, you have the potential to become a third-class citizen because even if you have superior genetics, no one will ever know about it. If 23andMe gets their way and trading genomic info actually becomes the new trend, and if society demands to know that info, for example, beaming to one another's cell phones as part of a normal social interaction, what will become of you without that info? The scenario is unpleasant, but we may be headed in that direction. To sum this all up, I agree with Vincent, that's Ethan Hawke's character in Gattaca. We are more than our genomes. Our DNA does not define us. We define ourselves. Those people who would tell you that your abilities and destiny were already determined on the day that you were born by your DNA have no idea what they're talking about. They're simply spouting a modern version of the ancient predestination principle. It's simply untrue. We are not voles. We are not mice. Though we might share much with them, I cannot believe that we are the mindless animals that many people would lump us with. We are not governed by every whim of the hormone and neuropeptide. We are greater than that. And I hope that this newest attempt to quantitate what is human eventually discovers that truism. Thanks for listening to me and my rantings. As always, take care, and I hope I have inspired some of you. Until next time, this is Jim Campanella.